I can only hope that that last segment with Brian Suits made me seem heartless and that I was taking the death of Osama bin Laden lightly, because I am. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. Can't wait to play Let's Kill Osama with my six-year-old son with fake guns. All right. So Ed Royce was on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about border security. This is even bigger. Ed Royce, you know him, of course, 48th District, Orange County. But for the purposes of this conversation, he is also the chair of the Terrorism, Non-Proliferation and Trade Subcommittee. And he's issued a statement in response to Osama bin Laden's death. But why read it? I have him on the line. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Big day.
Well, it is. You know, I think it gives some comfort to Americans harmed by 9/11 that our special forces and covert operations guys, you know, here they've killed several thousand terrorists since. That makes us safer, but we wanted to send a message that we would get this guy. It's taken 10 years, but they have done it, and in a rather breathtaking way, I must say.
Yeah, we were just hearing some of the details of how it probably happened based on the information we have and how these groups work. When did you find out that Osama bin Laden was dead, and how?
Well, I actually found out from a friend of mine who does a lot of work in Kabul. He is a former professor there, and he and I are on the board of a international orphan care operation that tries to teach orphans who were orphaned, by the way, in Afghanistan, a trade. And so he called me. His son had just heard, he let me know about it. But I think it's in terms of the psychological and propaganda value that it's having in that part of the world. This deflates Al Qaeda. It does, because this fellow was very, very charismatic, and they don't have anybody else that charismatic. Now, there's going to be blowback, and, you know, Al-Qaeda is still going to be out there, but still, at the end of the day, I think this Afghan who called me is representative of a lot of people in that part of the world who were on the other side of the jihadists. He felt particularly enthusiastic about this operation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a bigger deal even than the president and others made it out to be, and that, you know, you can't say terrorism, the war against terror is over, because it's not. And then you look bad next time there's a terrorist attack. But really, when you call him charismatic, I don't think you're trying to give him a compliment, and I certainly wouldn't either. But he was a rare kind of charismatic leader. This is a one in a million kind of guy, or once in a generation guy, who can rally people to kill themselves on behalf. You know, he's an Adolf Hitler. He's a JFK. This is a unique personality. You can't replace that right away, if ever.
And I think that's some of the commentary that's coming out of that part of the world right now. As people look at his second lieutenant and others, there aren't people of his stature. But there's something else here, and that is that his death at our hands demonstrates, I think, our power and our will, in a way. You know, it's a nasty fight against these terrorists, but perceptions of power and perceptions of will matter. So it is better late than never. It is good that that we have, you know, brought him to the bar of justice here. And I also think the way in which it was done, because how unsatisfying it would have been to later hear that he died of kidney failure, or, you know, we launch a missile at a compound, and you never really know.
Yeah.
Was he taken out or not? I've seen the pictures, as I'm sure you have, coming out of the websites in Pakistan. There is no doubt he was taken out, and so that is a message.
You think it's a mistake to have buried him at sea so quickly before we got a chance to see his body before the world could see it. I mean, I understand long term, you can't make a pilgrimage now to his gravesite, and that's a very good thing. But were we too hasty at disposing of his remains?
Well, on the Islamist websites, they've seen his body, and there is no question but that it is his body. The photographs that are out there in Pakistani society and in that part of the world, they know we got Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, we can discuss whether or not sea burial was what should have been done, but. But in the fact of the matter is that the pictures are out there. People know that he was taken out. And to me, that's the main point.
Was there any buzz in your circles? I mean, chair of the Terrorism Trade Subcommittee, Non-Proliferation Trade Subcommittee, you meet some high-ranking people. Were there whispers in Washington that maybe we know where bin Laden is? We're getting close. Anything like that? Any hints?
I've taken three trips to Pakistan, into Pakistan in the last 3 years. On each of these occasions, the discussions have centered around cooperation on the part of the ISI, the intelligence services in Pakistan, are concerned that there were those in the bureaucracy in Pakistan who knew about his whereabouts. And you saw also our Secretary of State make the comment. Secretary Clinton made the observation just a few months ago that she thought that some in the bureaucracy in Pakistan knew where he was. So there was this discussion that just as we had found three or four other high-ranking al-Qaeda operatives in cities in Pakistan, and certainly that suspicion has grown because, as you've noted, here you have a compound that is right adjacent to their main military academy in an area where retired military officers live. I mean, can you imagine this kind of a situation where you have somebody who's been ensconced there maybe since 2005 in approximate to the Pakistani military.
Amazing. So, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a little suspicious, isn't it?
For sure. How do we move forward with Pakistan based on this? Because, I don't believe I think the president's exaggerating, to say the least, that they were kind of consulted in part of this.
They weren't consulted.
Yeah, I mean, you would tell them when it's over because it would have been leaked for sure.
Exactly.
So, but going forward, does this help the situation? You can say to Pakistan, okay, that's done. We never did believe you, but what are we going to do going forward? Now you got to really help us in this war against al-Qaeda.
And the main thing we've got to get them to do, too, is to close those Deobindi madrasas, these religious schools. There are about 800 of these in particular where we know that they're churning out jihadists.
Yeah.
And there isn't the political will there to close them down. So that means that, not only are they a threat to Pakistani civil society, not only have they been carrying out assassinations of prominent moderate leaders, but also the more moderate Muslim clerics in the country. I talked to one on my last trip. He survived a bomb blast. His colleague had a bullet in him. These are graduates. This is the alumni of these madrasa schools. The government in Pakistan should be forced to close these schools now because, we're going to see these guys on the battlefield, or they're going to be carrying out operations in Pakistan or in London or where have you. And so I think it's clear that we're going to have to take a much tougher line with the government in Pakistan.
Well, at least now, as they're being educated to become martyrs, they know how the end might come with the U.S. military, brave men bursting in the night to put a bullet through your head. Thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Congressman Ed Joyce, 40th District, California. Ed Royce, 40th District, California, Orange County. He is the chairman of the, and that's what I was thinking about when I said his name. I wanted to get this part right. Got his name wrong. Ed Royce, kind of a regular on the show. I don't want to make that mistake. Chairman of the Terrorism, Non-Proliferation, and Trade Subcommittee.